are having a little
technical
delay or difficulty getting Catherine Austin fit, so we're going to go over some more news, and we're going to try to get, I think Pastor Wright's going to come in and comment on some of these things. We'll get his opinion about, I'd like to hear what he thinks about Black Lives Matter. I mean, he's a black man.
Yeah.
What does he think about, you know, they seem to co-opt all of blackness, you know, or whatever they say.
They
try. You know, they try to they stand for all blackness now.
That's what I heard.
So I guess they speak for, I guess they speak for Pastor Wright, I guess.
Well, we'll find out here directly.
They talk like they do.
Yeah.
Get the feed off. It feeds in my ear, Todd. You got Pastor Wright? Is Pastor Wright here?
I'm here.
There he is. Ah. Pastor Wright, the head of the Covenant Love Christian Center there outside of Dallas. Real excited to have him on. Thanks for coming on such short notice. We had a little trouble getting Catherine, but you're a Johnny on the spot. So welcome back to the Power Hour.
Yeah.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know you were listening to the end. Did you catch the part where we were talking about Black Lives Matter?
I didn't catch that.
Okay. I'm just going to read a couple. This all spurred. One, we hear Black Lives Matter. Before we get into it, I mean, you're a black man. I guess Black Lives Matter, they act like they speak for all black people. What do you think of Black Lives Matter?
Well, can I tell you like this? One of the things that I do, and matter of fact, we talked about this some in church yesterday, and I talk to people about looking at foundations. So one of my first things to do would be, okay, well, who's behind Black Lives Matter or anything? Who's funding it? Who's promoting it? And that'll tell me a lot about what's going on. So you guys know the deal with that.
George Soros in the comments.
Here, let me kind of go over the story again. Obviously you missed it, but this is worth repeating because the first time I read it, I was kind of blown away. This all sparked by Herschel Walker. You know who Herschel Walker is, correct?
I sure do.
Okay. Herschel Walker, University of Georgia star, Dallas Cowboy, Jersey Generals.
New York Giants.
New York Giants. Yeah, the whole deal. He was on TV debating with Mark Cuban, who's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. You're there in Dallas, so you know both these people. So Mark Cuban basically said, well, we in the NBA, we're going to put Black Lives Matter on the court. We're going to do this. And, you know, they're getting in the NBA that this Black Lives Matter, they're getting this publicity attention for all these different.
Are they putting them on the jerseys too?
I don't know. They're talking about it.
Okay.
So Herschel Walker goes, well, wait a minute. Not to question you, Mark, but do you know what the organization stands for?
That's a great question.
Besides saying Black Lives Matter, because I say one of those things that we have to address is Americans' lives matter. That's what Herschel Walker said. So for me, I thought, wow, Herschel, that's a great question. Do you know what Black Lives Matter stand for? So I then went to their website because I want to go straight to the horse's mouth. I'm not going to try to interject my own opinion. What have you? What do they say they stand for? So a lot of convoluted things. Here's one of the things they said. In affirming that Black Lives Matter, we need not qualify our position, which means we don't have to explain ourselves to
anybody. Yeah.
To anybody.
Yeah, and we ain't doing it.
We are unapologetically black in our positioning. They are black in their positioning. Can you please explain to me what does that mean? We're black in our, I mean, who knows? But they don't have to explain themselves.
We got the preacher. What does that mean, preacher?
I can't speak for them.
Well, take a shot at it.
Wouldn't dare. You wouldn't dare, would you?
I'm not even going to touch that with a 20-foot pole.
Okay. Let me keep reading. I'll head to some of the more troubling things. We make our spaces family friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so they can mother in private even as they participate in public justice work. I'm assuming that means that, you know, mothers are at home and have to work raising their children while dad's at work. So they want to dismantle that notion because mom needs to be out doing justice work and throwing bricks. I mean, doing justice work.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Collecting a government check.
Yeah, so I guess that's what that means. I don't know. I'm going to assume. But they want to dismantle the patriarchal practice. Then they go, this is even more disturbing, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. What in God's name does that mean?
Sounds like the guy in Virginia. Got to keep him comfortable.
Yeah. The governor Northam.
Keeping the babies comfortable.
We keep the baby comfy, and then a discussion ensues with the doctor.
And then we sell the pots.
Then we slaughter the baby and sell off the pots. Okay, well, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. I got news for him. It takes a man and a woman to make a baby. I mean, last time I checked.
Come on now.
I mean, right? I mean, last time I saw.
Yeah.
We foster a queer affirming network. This is their words. These aren't my words. This is their words. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, meaning it's normal for men and women to fall in love and to have children and marry and have children and to raise their children with a sense of values and ethics in their lives. We want to destroy that. That's what they just said.
Any comment, Pastor?
It's interesting because, matter of fact, my wife and I were talking about that either earlier this morning or last night, and she had looked at who was actually behind that, and that there were some lesbians that were involved.
Hmm. Makes sense.
Well, one of the main fundraisers is that, I can't remember her name, Rosenberg, that was, you talk about commuting people's sentences. Bill Clinton commuted her sentence. She was convicted of some terrorist act. She basically
got 50 years.
Yeah, majority of her life was going to be in jail. And he commuted her sentence, and now she's a fundraiser for Black Lives Matter.
Going straight to the top. Well, see, guys, you know, I to be honest, I haven't gone to the website, but I do look at, you know, what's below the surface. And first of all, who's funding what? That says a whole lot. Then secondly, what you guys are reading here, I mean, basically all of that is going against traditional biblical values, things that America's been built on, and in all that you read, I haven't heard anything about a Black Life Mattering.
Whoa. Unless they're queer.
Let alone everybody's lives.
But, unless they're queer.
Know, I'm just, you know, well, and it, to me, I mean, if you're going to talk about breaking down family structure, breaking down, you know, paternal, come on, you're going to leave the daddies out? I'm not hearing anything about people, and if it's supposed to be Black Lives Matter, I mean, I'm not hearing that.
Well, you know, that's an interesting observation.
It's something totally different.
Yeah, there's 10, I don't know, there's probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 of those little planks to their position that are on their website. Mm-hmm. And in there, not once did I see the word father used. And several times the word mother was used. Not once did I see the word father used.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
You take out the father, and then you have Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Marcellus Wiley, who's a... are you familiar with Marcellus Wiley? He's a broadcaster on ESPN. Do you know who I'm talking about? He used to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I know who he is.
I'm not familiar with him. I see some number of guys on it, but I'm not familiar with him.
Well, I'm just waiting for the day he's fired, because he got on ESPN. My jaw almost hit the floor. They were talking about this Black Lives Matter and the NFL supporting him and all this. And he on the radio said that, well, just wait a minute. I mean, do we even know, basically same thing Herschel Walker said, do we even know what these people stand for? They are for the, and he quoted about the breaking down, dismantling of the patriarchal, basically, setup. And he said, I've been fighting for black lives a lot longer than they have. I've been doing this my whole adult life. And I can read. I went to Columbia. I did a lot of research here. And the number one factor, if somebody's life is going to be, end in prison or problems or poverty, number one, it doesn't matter if it's black or white, the black population, it has just been exasperated by many factors. Is there a father figure in their life? And right. He went off about this, about how important his fathers were, and I'm not for this, and why should we support this, and we're going to paint it all over the NFL. Why are we getting even behind this? You want to support black people? Let's support. What about the abortions? What about the fathers? What about, and I thought, whoa, how long is it going to be before he's fired?
That's exactly what I thought.
Think about this. If we put that together with some of the things that we already know about what this corporate structure called the United States Corporation has done, think about the birth certificate issue and think about who signed the birth certificate. Come on now. So to me, and see, these are the kind of things that I look for.
Wow.
So, think about that. I mean, you put that together with that. It's like, okay, we're going to do still, once again, the government, we're going to be your daddy.
Wow. That's powerful. And it goes to the communist, and they use the word comrades and our struggle. These are all communist words. Those are their words, not mine. And I've said this several times. I have yet to find it. I have the new copy does not say this. My original birth certificate, I looked on it 100%. I promise you, I will put my hand on the Bible and testify. Where my mother signed, it said informant. It did not say mother. It said informant. On my birth certificate.
Yep. I looked at my children's. It's the same thing.
Is that crazy? You don't know, an informant is someone who turns someone over.
Turns someone over.
That's the definition. Oh my gosh,
if anything should be important to black people, it should be the structure of the home. And the fact that there are so many of our families who are without fathers. And when you look at the black women and how they've had to play that double role to make sure that the children become something. And, the dads just, make babies and check out. There should be something going on that would want to promote, let's put it this way, challenge men to be fathers to their children. Not to X that out.
Well, that's kind of the line of thinking that Marcellus Wylus did on this radio show.
That was amazing.
I couldn't believe it. I'm just waiting for when they get rid of him. I mean, that ESPN's turning into a socialist network.
Commie.
Where do you think this is going? Because I think there's a lot of good here because this is opportunity because people... I think, middle America, the traditional America, people who value tradition, people who value father and mother, they basically want to lead their lives, be left alone, live and let live for the most part. And they have not been active and aggressive like these radicals have been. I think we're to the point that we feel this caving in on us and coming in on us and this aggression towards us. That it actually becomes a good thing because now, Ma and Pa and Main Street USA are like, whoa.
Wait
a minute. I'm going to turn off The Simpsons, and I'm actually going to stand up here.
Like that old lady that put that paint on the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, she painted over
it. She painted on Black Lives Matter, and she got arrested, and the cops were behind her, let her go, and then she did it again to somewhere down the road. That's what we need. We need people to stand up.
What's your feeling about where we are? Because I think there's opportunity. I think there's a lot to be positive about.
There's a lot of opportunity, and I believe there are a lot of people that are waking up. Now what has to happen is people have to stand up. And, you know, that's what I was talking about in church some yesterday. And, you know, we're talking about finishing out 2020. And what I started out with yesterday, you know, basically was figuring out what's going on. And I said, people need to figure out what's going on right now. And I, you know, said a few general things about, you know, what Christians should do in the world. And we need to be making contact with people, you know, basically not hiding, not being afraid. We need to be telling people not to be fearful. We need to talk to them about coming to the Lord. And we need to talk to them about America waking up. And that there's a battle that's going on right now between two kingdoms. It's not, it has nothing to do with politics. It's about two kingdoms. It's light versus dark. And so we, you know, and then after we have to understand things from a foundational perspective. It is so important. And it's like you read, you went to their website and read, you know, basically what their charter, what they're trying to do. And this is, these are the kind of things that we have to teach people to do rather than just listening to all the rhetoric that's coming across the airwaves. Teach people to go to the root and foundation of things. So what I started with yesterday was this corona issue. And I asked the question, what are the objectives and the characteristics of Satan through coronavirus? Because it's not just something that's out there to try and make people sick. When you realize that we have a struggle between light and darkness, it becomes something deeper than that. And I said, now let's just, I said, there are a lot of you who know Spanish. So let's just take that word corona. What does corona mean? I said, crown. I said, oh, crown. I said, what do you put on a king's head? A crown. So I said, oh, so it looks to me like, and especially with all that we see all over the world with this issue here, there is this, this corona issue is being used to make people bow down.
Wow.
The mask issue and everything is going to come behind. I said, corona, crown, guys, crown, crown, crown. Somebody wants to be king. And in, wow, in reference to this corona deal, it's not Jesus that's promoting it.
I noticed so, there's no...
Go ahead.
There's an awful lot of fear. And fear is a tool of dark. Because darkness, like, if you're going to... To me, you, I mean, you're much more qualified than I am on this scripturally. If you're going to say light and dark, light is freedom, liberty, given by God. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Darkness is control, manipulation, fear. So fear is the biggest tool. Right. When we're afraid, we can't see the truth because the truth sets you free. And so there's a lot of fear around all this. And by fear, you know, I got relatives are scared out of their minds about this.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, it's a brilliant ploy on their part because it's hard. How do you argue with them? Well, I may catch coronavirus and die. I mean, how do you argue with them? Well, all right, I guess you're right. I guess you could get coronavirus and die.
Possibility.
Hey, guys, you know one of the main things that I do when I go out and talk to people, the first things that I say to them is fear not after I, you know, open the door for conversation. And I tell people in church this when I go, because I encourage people, you got to get involved with folks. I said, you talk about the harvest being ripe. I said, and fear is a major issue right now. And I said, I have spoken to people, and I tell them, fear not, don't be afraid. And I said, it would amaze you, the reaction. I said, I've seen the countenance on people's faces just totally change when they hear fear not. There was one, I don't know, I may have mentioned this when I was with you guys before. If I didn't, I'll share now. I was cleaning my truck out one afternoon, several weeks ago, and there was a young lady that was delivering some food to my next-door neighbor. Young lady, beautiful young lady. And she had a mask on. Now, when I see people, I'm always looking to put something in people's hands. So anyway, I went inside. I found some a set of DVDs, and I got her before she got out the driveway. And I said, "Hey, I want to give you something." And she, you know, she took it and she looked at me, and I said to her, you know, it's going to be a blessing to you. And I looked at her and I said, don't be afraid. And she pulled her mask down, and just this big old smile came over her face. And she said, you know what? You've been a blessing to me. I said, well, you sound like you love Jesus. And she said, yes, I do. I said, you know what? Don't walk in fear. And it's like her countenance just totally, completely changed.
Wow.
And wow. So the fear is the thing that has to be attacked. Because it's the weapon that Satan is using.
What do you tell, you know, now Walmart's requiring masks and what have you. What do you tell people? I mean, do you just tell them not to fear? I mean, what? How do you address this when people come to you?
Only thing I do, I can't, you know, I tell folks, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but I'm telling you what this mask represents. And I, to carry it further, you know, first I talked about it meaning, you know, having a connection to world dominion. I said, this Satan wants to govern, rule, dominate, and have forced obedience. I said, that's what this whole thing is all about. And I said, secondly, we started looking at the virus. And I said, of course, you know, it's got spikes on it. They're designed to penetrate the cells, you know, of the host and fill of itself. Well, anyway, skip down to the last thing about that I talked about. I said, the mask is actually a preview to the mark. And we went over to Revelation 13 and read some things and how the scripture there talked about the fact that nobody would be able to buy or sell without the mark. And I said, now look at what's going on. I said, I'm not trying to tell you that this is it right now. I said, but people's minds are being conditioned. If anything, I hear the music.
You can't go to Walmart and buy without this mask. Todd,
let me
Catherine
pick up on that
Fitz,
when we come back. Okay.
Okay, we do. We do have Catherine on the other side, Pastor. So here, I'll talk to you during the break. Ladies and gentlemen, stay right there. We got a full house. More on the Power Hour. ThePowerHour.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Hard Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Hard Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Hard Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Hard Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption, utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this
This is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Remind everybody about the specials over at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. I talked about them quite a bit on the first hour, so I'm not going to waste any time because we got a two-for-one going here at the Power Hour. The Power Mall, 877-817-9829. The Power Hour right now, Catherine Austin Fitz is here, and Pastor Wright. So we're going to do a two-for-one, and we're going to see how this goes with the discussion. Catherine Austin Fitz, of course, she's the writer, the official of the Solari Report. Her history needs little introduction, but she was a managing director and a member of the board of directors of the Wall Street Investment Bank, Dylan Reed and Company. She, of course, was involved in HUD. She is one of the brightest and most intelligent people there is, and she wants to know where $21 trillion is. This is her, Catherine Austin Fitz. Welcome to the Power Hour, Catherine.
Thank you, Daniel. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Solari.com, so the Solari Report is her great website. Before, we're going back and forth with Pastor Wright here. Let's just get your comment. Kind of, this has been a crazy time since the last time we talked. What have you went through? What do you see? What is most important to Catherine?
So while this has been happening, I've been writing a major piece for the Solari Report called The State of Our Currencies, and it's all about what I call the central bankers call it going direct. I call it the global reset. Because what is happening is a very significant move by the central banks to re-engineer the global financial system, including into a digital financial system, which will essentially end currencies as we know it and put us into a equivalent of a credit at the company store. It is, as Pastor Wright just explained, a mark of the beast system. When I came in, I heard him saying that wearing the masks is a prelude to the mark of the beast system, and I couldn't agree more. We're all being sort of puppy trained. And essentially, if we had tried to do another round of financial bailouts like we did in 2008 to 2012, the population would have balked at, giving another round of $24 to $29 trillion to the banks. So instead, this is basically being marketed as a healthcare issue. And if you look at all the laws that have been put in place over the last 20 years to basically install police state legal authority through a quote unquote pandemic, think of this as simply a way of marketing a radical increase in centralized control. And part of this is a real attack on the church because at the heart of this, the decision is not just how are we going to run the global financial system, but are we going to be sovereign individuals under the authority of God? Are we going to be hooked up, you know, to the cloud at the DOD and run through brain-machine interface? In other words, are we going to resonate with the divine intelligence or with a machine? And so it's come down to this, and many Americans have tried for many, many years, Daniel, to live in the middle of the road, and you can. You're going to have to choose between God and the national security state. Here it comes. So I heard Pastor Wright say what he did, I thought, okay, we need him to stay on because the time has come for us to talk about tactics.
Let me interject before we go further. And for the audience who doesn't know you, don't know you very much, you are world class at what you do. You are known throughout the world. You have been in the highest levels, you know, political positions at HUD. You know how this works. You have seen, for somebody like you, who has kind of, to some degree, have seen the inner workings of this, been on Wall Street, and to basically say that the technocracy is coming, this is a choice between being hooked up to DOD like almost like a Matrix figurative type thing, vaccine, DNA connection, nanobots, or are we going to connect to the divine within us? You are one of the most prominent people in the world, respected people in the world, and you are saying that. It's a little shocking to a lot of people, I would think.
So I expected when I first said it that people might feel shocked. But in fact, if you had a Microsoft computer, so if you had Microsoft software on a Dell computer or a PC, you know, you understood what it meant to have an operating system that was constantly having to be updated because there was, you know, an endless stream of viruses requiring you to have this operating system. And it didn't take you until Edward Snowden told you to understand that they were compromising your security and getting a backdoor into your computer brain. Well, if you look at when they started to play that game with your computers, you know, that's when they started on the research saying, hey, this system is great for computers. Let's do it to humans. And they've been working on this for a very, very long time. When we publish the state of our currencies, it'll all be documented in there. And James Corbin, I don't know if you've seen it, it's been a wonderful series on Bill Gates. So this is all very highly documented and with public information. But when I started to explain it as, you know, they want to install the Microsoft operating system in you and hook you up to the DOD cloud, people understood it because they understood the model of what had happened to their computers, and they realized, okay, you know, they did it to my computer brain. Now they're ready to do it to my real brain.
Sherry Tenpenny says, you're talking about the vaccines and basically what you just mentioned, this is a fight whether the human DNA is going to exist in its present form. Are we going to continue in this? Or are we going to morph into some kind of robot machine? I mean, she is that stark about this. I mean, this is beyond Star Trek level stuff.
If you look at what, so let me just describe, if you go to Soleri, I have an article called The Injection Fraud, which explains a lot of it. But I think one very important tactic that we need to use is we need to stop calling these injections vaccines. Under the law, a vaccine is a medicine, and these are not medicine. You know, I have one subscriber who calls them toxins, and that's why I call it an injection fraud. If you allow these to be called vaccines, then they have protection under the law. The companies are free of liability, and they can proceed to inject into you what they're injecting now, which is things that change your DNA, aborted fetal tissue, nanoparticles, and mystery ingredients. You know, so some people refer to it as biowaste, but that's all documented. That's all fact. And this is not medicine. If you look at we have 54% of American children now have chronic disease, and in fact, not everybody can afford to be tested. It's probably higher than that, and it's rising. This is the kind of chronic disease that destroys civilizations. So this stuff is not medicine, and it's very, very dangerous.
I love that. Let's stop calling the vaccines. Let's call it what it is. What did you say it was? Toxins? Yeah. What did you say?
Well, I refer to the operating system as Windows 1984, and the injections as toxins.
Oh my gosh! Instead of Windows 1995, Windows 95. This is Windows.
If you can get the general population refusing to call these vaccines, then they lose all their financial liability, and the profits get slaughtered.
Toxins. I like. Let's call them toxins. I'm really concerned how this is being set up. The mask issue is such a, Pastor Wright was talking about that. This mask issue is so important because this is the debate now, mask. The next debate is the vaccine. Well, if you don't get a vaccine, you can't go into Walmart or you can't, you know, whatever. I mean, you can see where this is going really fast. What do we do?
First of all, remember, if you don't get the toxin, so we're not going to call it a vaccine.
Oh, good. Thank you, Catherine.
What you can see, the Gavi Alliance is doing a prototype in Africa with MasterCard. It's a combination ID, biometric ID. And the other thing I call it is, I keep telling people, injectable credit cards are not vaccines or medicine. So
I'm laughing right now.
About something,
I'm laughing right now because, I'm sorry, go ahead, Catherine, go ahead.
So they're talking about something that will integrate with the payment systems, but can put you under through the cloud through an AI-managed software system. So an AI-managed software system will do a couple things. One, and I think this is one of the reasons they call the plan going direct, if I can manage you directly through software and AI through the cloud, and I've got you hooked up physically, then 90% of the federal, state, and local bureaucracy can go. I don't need them. I can save a fortune in terms of transaction costs. But the other thing is I can fine-tune how much money you do or do not get according to a 24/7 run of the behavior I want from you. If you go back to the slave trade in the 1700s and 1800s, they called it the whipping machine. And believe it or not, if you look at the history of the economics of slavery, it is fantastically profitable. I mean, this is a very, when you combine it with all the new technology, they will make a fortune. So this is slavery, and it's, if you look at how the AI and the software can work, it's a particularly gruesome thing, which is why I tell people, do not worry about death. Death is not the worst thing that can happen here.
I was laughing before because you brought up the story in Africa and the testing began. I had this exact conversation off air with Daniel Esselin. I don't know if you're familiar with Daniel Esselin. He's a huge fan of yours. I don't know if you know him, but this is the story that he quoted me. He said, you want to know what the future is? They're testing this MasterCard with the toxins, with the nanobots testing in Africa starting right now. This is what they're planning. And I'm dumbfounded that you repeated the same story.
It was just Patrick Wood at Technocracy News just published a big article about it. He's, you know, Patrick's really done a fantastic job of, of breaking down Technocracy and how it works. But I want to turn to tactics.
Yes, do it. Tactics.
Because, we're in World War III. This is what it looks like and feels like. And this is first and foremost, you know, this is a 10,000-year-old war, and this is a spiritual war. And so first and foremost, if we are going to get out of the middle of the road and do something about this, we need to get clear about what our spiritual life and approach is going to be. Okay? And I asked you to let Pastor Rice stay on, because I think there's no better source of wisdom about what we have to do here than Scripture. So I wanted to ask Pastor Wright what he would advise, because I think the first thing you need is you need prayer. You need a process of being connected and receiving divine guidance throughout this process. And I would love to hear what his advice would be about what we could do as individuals and families and communities to be in prayer, particularly when some of the governors are trying to keep us from gathering in churches and even in homes. I just saw the governor of California apparently said you can't have at-home services.
You know,
of course, in California, you're not allowed to sing a chant in church. So anyway, Pastor Wright, help us out. Let's start talking tactics.
Sure. For me, you know, I'm going to piggyback off of your prayer exhortation and take it to the pastors and leaders of ministries. Not one church needs to allow themselves to be shut down or stop services. And through this whole deal, we never shut down. And I think it has been a detriment to what is going on. I think pastors need to wake up. And because one of the things the scripture teaches us is that, first of all, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And right. It tells us, the scripture also makes it plain that we are to obey God rather than men. So we have to make some decisions, first of all, that we're going to obey God. Because without that, I mean, we're sunk. If you're talking about being Christian and God's people, because there's never going to be any blessing in disobedience or being fearful of man as opposed to obeying God. So for me, first of all, behind prayer, and even though these people who are running things, we would not call them a government, they do sit in some seat of authority. And what God, and when I say authority, I put that in quotation marks. What God tells us to do is to pray for them so that we can live peaceable, quiet, godly, and honest lives. So that should be a big part of our prayer right there. And then secondly, we need to gather together. And if a pastor is afraid of that, or Christians are afraid of that, then you're going to have to make some decisions. You know, am I going to be afraid, or am I going to walk with God? Because you're going to have to make some decisions. And the best time to do it is now, because it's not going to get any easier. And we just need to do it. If we put up a solid front where the body of Christ is concerned, that's going to make the biggest difference. And one of the things that I share with our congregation is that no matter what age we are in, I don't care what anybody's end time eschatology is, whether you're pre, post, you know, mid-trib, all that kind of foolishness. What we need to realize is that Jesus put the church here to have dominion and authority. And so regardless right. of what your theological stand is on the end times, we need to realize we're still here. So that means right. we are to take dominion over these things that are ungodly, first of all, in our prayer times. And then when we get out, we need to act that out. And one of the ways that we can act that out right now is with this mask issue. I refuse to wear one.
Right.
And you know, right. I'm just not going to do it. And when I go into these places, I'll tell them, you know, I'm not ugly or mean or anything like that. But it's like, hey, this is a health issue for me, because I'm not going to cut off the flow of oxygen and keep breathing in my own carbon dioxide. And not only that, right. but like I shared with people yesterday, what the mask represents from the people that are trying to make us wear it is submission. Also, it means shut up. And then right. the third thing is feed on your own toxins and weaken your own immune system so that you become vulnerable to whatever I present next. So if right. I'm going to rebel against anybody, I need to rebel against these things that are trying to destroy Christianity. Destroy my nation, destroy my life, destroy my family. All of that's destruction, and the Bible says that what the thief comes to do is to steal, kill, and destroy. So I have a right to stand up against every single one of these things, because they're crosswise of what the scriptures teach.
Let me ask you.
And then when I make my decisions.
Go ahead, Catherine.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say one of the things they're trying to do is throw nations, people, families, and businesses into a debt trap. So you cut off your income, but the debt still, you know, has to be paid. So part of this is getting people in the corner in a debt trap, and on the hopes that will help them be more obedient down the line.
Mm. So basically,
and to me, that's one of the things that we need to educate people on. Like when we go into the stores, We need to talk to them. If we talk to a manager of the store, you know, I mean, he may not have the ultimate authority to make a decision to change things, but mm-hmm. he needs to be made aware of it. You know, this is not just mm-hmm. about coronavirus. It's about messing with your finances and everybody else's finances in America.
Absolutely.
Let me ask a Absolutely. Little broader question here, Pastor and Kathy, either one of you. We've seen situations now where police have been to churches where elderly people are sitting in a parking lot in their car. The police give them $500 tickets. We have seen churches be basically SWAT teamed by police or different things to be physically stopped. Usually the Declaration of Independence talks about things, we suffer with things while they are sufferable. We think the term push coming to shove. Well, here pretty soon, it seems like push is coming to shove. We're either going to be able to meet as a church, or we're going to have to stand up to them and say no and repel their force on this issue. What do we do? What do we do if we're in a church? What do you do if you're in a church and you get stormed or what have you, Pastor? I mean, because that's where this is going.
I think it has to go. Gosh, it's a challenge here. I mean, because we're in the middle of some stuff, but I think churches need to be taught about this 501c3 issue and realize that the best thing you can do for your church, your congregation, your people, for your community is for your church to become an unincorporated foundation.
Where did the Bill of Rights come in? Where did the Bill of Rights come in on this?
Well, it comes in real big. You start right at the top there. There's not any governmental structure, whether it's de jure or de facto, has no right to tell a church what to do. And so, like, we've talked about this before. And one of the things that we do in our place is we've handed out the Bill of Rights to people. We printed it out. We took the magnets that you shared with us, we shared with people. And not only that, but pass them out on the streets and talk to people about this stuff. You know, they don't have any right to do that. And if you don't have that knowledge, then you don't have anything to stand up against anybody with.
So, Daniel, one of the things I think we're going to have to do is also go into the courts. So we, if you come to our website, we have a Take Action crowdfund, and we support a couple groups, and you can see there, one is the Children's Health Defense, which is sending attorneys into the court every day, and the other is the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, because we need to protect our small farmers and ranchers. The more food we can provide for ourselves, we don't have to depend on big corporations, the better, but we need to be able to protect those farmers from all the different ways that enforcement is used to sort of shut them down. And so both of those groups are basically fielding attorneys that keep going back into court, because you've got to have, you know, I think you've got to have prayer warriors. I think you've got to have divine covering. And I think you need to act with discretion. But then I think we're going to have to go into courts. There's one other thing we're going to have to do. You cannot, as an economic matter and as a Christian, finance local, municipal, and state government, which is operating in violation of, you know, the most basic human rights. So if you're financing somebody to behave in ways that are demonic, then you are responsible. So
how do we
for
cut
example,
that off?
How
do we cut that off?
We are going to have to start escrowing our tax money. And in theory, there are many different ways to do it. But the first thing we have to finance is, we are paying right now taxes to municipal and school board officials who are destroying their own tax base.
I'm very concerned. You brought up about courts, and believe me, I agree with you. But something that really troubled me, there was a church in California. They just asked for an emergency injunction for these orders against them. It went to the Supreme Court. Roberts, of course, turned tail and went with the liberals and sided against them. The Supreme Court just ruled against this church. Basically, they have no standing to get an injunction. The protections of the First Amendment really don't apply in this situation. That's basically their ruling. That is tragic. That is damnable, that is war.
Right, but remember, this is going to take, there was a sheriff, I think it was in Santa Cruz, the sheriff said he refused to enforce the mask because so many people were out on the beach and just couldn't do it. And so we're going to have to arrive at a critical mass. You know, if you land two people on Normandy Beach, they're not going to get a lot done. I used to tell people, do not ask me to land on Normandy Beach with a water pistol. And that's one of the reasons I think that prayer is so important, because one thing everybody can do is pray. And so you can get millions and millions of people praying together, and then you don't need as many people acting. So I just wanted to tell Pastor Wright my favorite story in Scripture. Tactics is the story of Gideon. And it reminds us that you don't need a lot of people, but you need people who are both faithful and people who are effective, and you need enough of them. So Gideon had to call for an army, didn't want to do it, but he did. But I used to have a partner on Wall Street who'd say, before you do the deal, get everybody together and tell the scared guys to go home. And to a certain extent, we're going to have to gather, and we're going to have to tell the scared guys to go home.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I love it. There's the music.
Yeah,
that went way too quick. The great Catherine Austin Fitz and America's pastor, Pastor Nicholas Wright from Covenant Love Christian Center. You can check him out on Facebook if you want to hear his sermons. Catherine, absolute pleasure. Solari.com is your website. Final thought, Catherine, yours, about 10 seconds.
I'm going to check out Pastor Wright's website I need regular Sunday guidance.
You should. CLCC.com. CLCC.com. Covenant Love Christian Center.
CLCC.com. Okay.
Yep.
My CLCC.
Oh, my CLCC.com. Sorry. My CLCC.com. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics. Hey, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.